Man, crazy life, right? Children, see, Pastor George didn't want to bore you with telling you all about Joseph. Wanted to show you, all right? You're welcome. Hey, you're welcome, buddy. But here's the deal. The reality is this. This man, Joseph, he had a few things go wrong, didn't he? He faced adversity after adversity in his life. And just when Joseph seemed to overcome an adverse situation, another difficulty or another misfortune would arise. However, here's what we see. Through every adversity, there was a heart to trust the Lord and to follow His plan. And with that attitude of heart, Joseph was able to see God work in faithful ways time and time again. You know, this past Thursday, many of us, we celebrated Thanksgiving around a table with family and friends, and we were able to reflect on all that we have to be thankful for. Over the years, though, here's what I've noticed. I noticed that there's two different types of attitudes that show up around that Thanksgiving table or the holiday season. The first attitude is this. It's the one of celebration and thankfulness. It's the one we really enjoy being around. And then there's the second attitude, which is one of criticism and complaint. You know, the holiday season can be very difficult for many who are facing adversity during this time. As a matter of fact, there are many who are finding it difficult to find any joy or any reason to be thankful or happy right now. Well, this morning, there's a reason why we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Because I want us to be encouraged through Scripture. I want us to be encouraged through the adversity that he faced to let us be reminded that when we find it life difficult, when we find it full of adversity, which there will be adversity, that's just, you can bank on it. As believers, here's the deal. We still have the opportunity to live out a heart of thankfulness, faithfulness, and to find joy in the midst of a tough season. You know, if I was to ask how many are facing adversity right now, and we were to raise our hands, we would probably be shocked at how many folks are finding themselves facing something difficult. But we have to understand that adversity is going to come. Adversity is going to play itself out, and it's how we respond to that in a way that we're able to glorify Christ, to find ourselves on the other side of adversity in a way that's healthy, in a way that's holy. You know, some of us may have asked ourselves this question, whether it was this weekend or a question that we may have asked in the past, or maybe it's a question we'll ask in the future, but the question is this: why do good things happen to bad people? Or why do bad things happen to good people? Or even closer to home, how about this conversation or this thought? God, I believe I'm doing everything right. I'm close to you. I spend time with you. I live my life for you. I live my life according to your word. So why is this happening to me? Why does it feel like adversity after adversity just finds me where I'm at? Well, Charles Simeon, he has said this, and I've found it very helpful to be reminded of this when I'm facing adversity or opposition in my own life. He says this: opposition or adversity does not mean that we are necessarily doing things wrong. Often it is evidence that we are doing things right. You know, this morning my prayer is this, that we are able to not only answer these questions, but we are able to look at the life of Joseph, look at how he handled these many challenges and adversities that faced him continuously. But then I want us to take the principles of the Word of God, apply them to our life, so that we are able to live a life of thankfulness, faithfulness, and joy when we find ourselves in the midst of adversity. The question might be this morning, is that even possible? I'd like for us to answer that question with a yes, it is, based on Scripture. Genesis chapter 50 is where we're going to read for just a moment. If you want to turn your Bibles there, we're going to read 6 verses. They're not on the screen this morning. We're just highlighting one part of the passage, but if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 50, that's where we'll be there. That's where we will be in verse 15. It reads this: when Joseph's brothers had seen that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong which we did to him?" Verse 16 reads, so they sent instructions to Joseph saying, your father commanded us before he died, saying, this is what you shall say to Joseph. Please forgive me, I beg you, the offense of your brothers and their sin, for they have did you wrong. And now please forgive the offense of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph went when they spoke to him. In verse 18, then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But watch Joseph what he does here. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in God's place. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about the present result, to keep many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I want us to know this morning that whatever adversity that you are facing or you will face, that there is an attitude, there is a heart of thankfulness, faithfulness, and joy that can be lived in the midst of it. The first thing this morning when we see, when we're looking at carrying out of a heart of thankfulness and faithfulness and joy in the midst of adversity is this: the circumstances of Joseph's life did not control his destiny. The circumstances of Joseph's life did not control his destiny. As a matter of fact, we pick it right there in Genesis, and it says he dreamed of greatness. Now, if you caught it in the video, it was a little funny, but Joseph couldn't wait to tell his brothers how they were going to bow before him, right? But at the end of the day, that's what was going to happen because God had revealed that to him, and that was the plan for Joseph's life. But he didn't know how it was going to play out. All he knew is that there was something God was going to do, and he was going to live in that and be and play that out as God led. But here's what happens. He dreamed of greatness, but then the next thing we see is he's being sold into slavery. Being sold into slavery. So let's just be honest for a second. For many people, when something goes wrong, the dream is over. The adversity takes them in a different direction, and they begin to fall away from God's dream or God's plan. I mean, Joseph, could you imagine in that moment, like, what in the world is going on? I am being sold into slavery. I'm never going to live out God's plan according to this. But in that, we don't see Joseph complain, or we don't see him give up. Instead, we actually see that he lives out the dream. Here's what happened. He did not allow the circumstances of life to get in the way of fulfilling his destiny. He knew that the Lord had given him this vision, and the Lord would be faithful to his promise. He didn't give up on what God had planned for him. Instead, listen to what happened. He did everything within his ability to serve the Lord and do all things excellent unto him. If you'll notice, when we walk through this story, you take time later this week to read the entire story, Joseph winds up in a very bad situation. He faces adversity, but then the next thing you know, he's rising to the top through that adversity. He's not sitting still. He's not complaining. He's not grumbling. He's living out an excellence to the Lord to say, whatever circumstance I am or whatever circumstance I face, guess what? I'm going to make the best of it. He accomplished this by being submissive to those in authority over him. Did you notice, as the video said, he had people that were over him, rulers. There was Potiphar, and there's the Pharaoh, and there's folks that are going to be continuously over him, the prison guard. And he has to decide, listen, am I just going to buck the system? Am I going to defy and ignore everything they say? Am I going to rise up against them? Or I'm going to let God do what God does. I'm going to follow him in the midst of this adversity to see how it goes. He rose to the top because of his willingness to work hard in spite of his circumstances. Matter of fact, Colossians 3, 23 and 24 encourages us to do the same thing. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It's the Lord Christ whom you serve. Our circumstances aren't going to control our destiny. Deuteronomy 6, 5, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Circumstances cannot be allowed to control our attitude, our heart of thankfulness, our heart of faithfulness. As a matter of fact, many people face different circumstances. What about this? If we were to say, how many of you were raised the exact same way, and we made a list, not many hands would go up. We were all raised differently. Many people are taught differently. Many people have the chance to stay exactly where they are, or they have the opportunity to overcome their circumstances and live out God's plan for their lives. Joseph did not let his circumstances control his destiny. We also see that the crises that Joseph faced did not cause him to sin. This is a great part of the story. Think about this. He was sold into slavery. Every opportunity to get hurt, angry, bitter. But then he was accused of adultery. Anybody had a false accusation ever brought against you? It's not fun, is it? Takes time to get that out of people's heads, even though it was false. We see that he was put in charge of the prisoners. Now again, you might think, man, that's really cool, man. That's really awesome. But it's also adversity. Why? Because if something goes wrong, then who's it going to fall upon? Joseph. So he's sold into slavery. He's accused of adultery. He was put in charge of the prisoners. He's seeing more adversity. But it's been said this, that you can learn a lot in jail. Most of it bad. But there are some good things that can be learned in prison if you're there. Not because you did anything wrong, but because it just worked against you. But just ask John Bunyan. In 1660, he was arrested for preaching without a license. While there, he began writing his great book, Pilgrim's Progress. Just as Alexander Zelensky, he was imprisoned for criticizing the communist. While there, he wrote poems in his head, which he later was able to publish. Maybe ask Corrie Ten Boom. She was imprisoned for trying to save Jews from the Nazis. And in her imprisonment, she loses her family, but she also learned that no matter how deep the pit you are in, guess what? God's love is deeper still. If we were to ask Joseph, what did he learn in this moment? Compassion, perseverance, perhaps humility. But that allowed him to serve Pharaoh well and eventually protect his family. Listen, we all are going to face adversity. We could all even say that sometimes that adversity feels like we're in a prison. What happens to us when we find ourselves in that moment is up to us. What happens to us when we find ourselves in that moment is up to us. The crises Joseph faced did not cause him to sin. He was called upon for interpretation of dreams. We'll notice in just a second that as he was interpreting those dreams, guess what? He was pointing that those interpretations came from God. He wasn't taking it upon himself to say, oh, look what I can do. He glorified God in that moment. He was put in charge of the famine preparation. I don't know about you, but that would be a pretty big responsibility. If this goes wrong, he's going to face consequences. But he was also faced with the choice of reconciling with his family. Did anybody have that opportunity this past week? Or maybe this week you need to make up and reconcile for what happened around the Thanksgiving table? I did really good this week, y'all. I'm so proud of myself. Let's be honest. My wife nudged me and said, one more day. I'm glad to be with y'all this morning. You know, Joseph had every opportunity to sin in these circumstances. He had every opportunity to give in, every opportunity to quit, every opportunity to get angry, every opportunity to allow the flesh to win. I don't want you to get to the wrong picture this morning, especially kids. Joseph wasn't perfect. But throughout this story, what we do not see is a time when Joseph sins in the face of God. So the question might be, well, how did Joseph, how was he able to resist this temptation to sin? The cool thing is, it's the same way you and I are able to resist it today. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except something common to mankind, and God is faithful. So he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to, what's that word? Endure it. Adversity is going to come. Temptation in that adversity is going to come. But I want to encourage you this morning that God already knows that, And he's given a way of escape, but he's also said, listen, you may have to endure it. And that endurance is what will allow you to continue to be thankful and faithful and even joyful in the midst of adversity. Psalm 119:11, how do we resist the temptation? I've treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. What's the best defense against sin? It's the word of God. It's hiding it in our heart, living it out, recalling it when that temptation comes. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:17. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. Listen, adversity, again, is going to take place. And Joseph faced a lot of crises in his life. He didn't allow them to cause him to sin. As a matter of fact, one of the sins that takes place when we face adversity is when instead of diving more into our relationship with God, what do? We pull away from our relationship with God. Some even to the point where they fall away. But the sin is this: it's the adversity of lacking faith or trusting the Lord that He knows what is taking place. There's the sin in the midst of adversity of being selfish, or the sin of attempting to overcome adversity through one's power. And this leads to failure, to anger, to bitterness, to foolishness. And Joseph simply understood that God was in control and God would bring him through this. And here's the deal. If his adversity was going to be being a servant or a slave, he was going to do it well. If he was going to be a prisoner, and that's where he was going to remain, then he was going to be the best prisoner that he could be. He definitely was going to be the best interpreter. He was going to be a great leader. And then there's a challenge that comes to him, and Pharaoh says, hey, listen, you're smart, you're wise, so here's the deal. Why don't you go figure out how to handle this famine? Joseph better handle this well, or there will be consequences. So how does one resist the temptation to sin in the midst of a crisis or an adversity? We see here in Genesis how this works. The calling of Joseph allowed him to glorify God in the midst of adversity. We've talked about in the book of Ephesians how God is calling us unto Him. And when we repent, we confess, we repent, we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are called into God's family. We are part of His family. We've been saved. We've been changed. And so when adversity comes as a believer, we're going to face some situations that are going to challenge our faith. They're going to challenge how we respond outwardly in the moment as the world looks on. Here's what Joseph did. He glorified God as a servant and a slave. He glorified God as a prisoner. As a matter of fact, he glorified God as an interpreter as well. Genesis 40, verse 8, and they said to him, we each have a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell him to me, please. And he said this three times, twice to the butler and the baker and once to Pharaoh. He understands who needs to be glorified in giving him that interpretation. He glorified God as a leader and he glorified God as a brother. George, how do you glorify God when you're in the midst of something that just seems like, man, God just really isn't even in the moment? And maybe you don't have those thoughts, and I pray that you don't, because God is in the moment. But maybe this morning you're facing something, and that's what it feels like. I want to encourage you that Joseph knew his calling, and he was confident in the Lord, because Joseph knew what righteousness of God looked like. He knew what he needed to look like to bring glory to his God. So he understood that adversity was part of everyday life. He was facing it since a young child, and we all face it. What are some of the adversities that we face as believers? Maybe there's financial adversity, or there's family adversity, or other adversities that are within your job or in the community. Maybe there's an adversity that you face that I haven't mentioned, and you can fill in the blank. But I was thinking about this sermon and just, you know, not just this week and not just the months prior, but I really looked back over my vocational ministry and just shepherding people and spending time working on church staffs. And really, I've continued to find myself in this same conversation over and over again, whether it be with members of churches or friends or acquaintances with the community. But here's a question that comes up as I began to think about sharing this morning. This question is, I'm serving God. And as far as I know, I'm doing everything right. I'm even growing more spiritually right now than I have in a long time. But it just seems like everything continues to go wrong, and I can't seem to catch a break. So when I enter this conversation, here's what I do. I find myself reflecting on Scripture. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. I find myself here in Genesis, reminded of Joseph. I find myself being reminded of Job. And then I look into the Psalms and see that, hey, God is in the midst of all of this. And then Jeremiah and Daniel and Acts and throughout the New Testament. But I've come to conclude that this conversation is a sign of those who are striving to glorify God in their character. And they find themselves attacked by the enemy. And instead of looking at this from the point of view that is actually what Christ tells us we're going to face, sometimes we find ourselves looking at it from a point of, whoa, whoa, pitiful me. Right? But here's the thing. We can expect adversity. Why? In 1 Peter 5:8, we're warned that Satan is roaming around seeking to devour. Listen, Satan doesn't want healthy believers. He doesn't want healthy and holy churches. He doesn't want healthy and holy marriages. There's an enemy that wants to bring adversity. And the great thing about God is He's already told us that. And here's what He reminds us again in Ephesians 6. He tells us to do what? Put on the whole armor of God. In Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus provides us the attitude of gratitude where we should live out and what it should look like for the believer. But then also when we are guaranteed to face adversity, Romans 8, 38 and 39 tells us that trials and tribulations nor anything else can separate us from the love of God. When we are called into the family of God, when we are called to certain situations, when we are called to specific vocation, or when we experience trial or temptation, I want to remind you that when we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when He saved us and changed us, He put the Spirit of God to live within us. And here's what He says. He's like, listen, you cannot face adversity in a healthy, holy, or fruitful way without letting me lead you through that and you being reminded of how to glorify me in that. Listen, it's so important to understand we cannot walk through trial, temptation, adversity in our flesh. As a matter of fact, this kind of leads us to our next point. It's this understanding that should embody who we are in Christ and allow us to understand this is how we gain our identity in Christ and where we see our character, our new creation being formed. Joseph's calling allowed him to glorify God in the midst of the adversity. And here's the thing. The character of Joseph allowed him to forgive his brothers. We fast forward all the way. We see Joseph reveal himself to his brothers. We see the process of forgiveness and the process of reconciliation begin to take place. Then we go all the way to Genesis 15, and we see that he looks his brothers in the eyes and says, what? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Listen, his character was formed by his circumstances. You know how we're shaped and we're molded? As believers, we face circumstances. We face adversity. And here's the thing. He made the choice to not let his circumstances control his destiny. His character was formed upon the understanding that God has a perfect will, a perfect plan, and even a future for Joseph. Joseph's character, listen, was God-centered and God-focused. Folks, that's key this morning. We're in the midst of a heavy circumstance or in an adversity. We want our character to be formed. And we want to be formed by God. So we must be centered on Him and focused on Him in the midst of what we are facing. Not only that, His character was shaped by His crises. He made the choice to allow his crises to glorify God. His character was not only God-centered and God-focused, but it was God-led. He was allowing God to shape him. But also his character was an outflow of his calling. I love this right here. Because Joseph realized God had a purpose and calling for his life, he was able to live with confidence that God would have to provide the way. God must provide the answers. God must provide the reconciliation. His character was not only God-centered, God-focused, God-led, but listen this morning, it was God-dependent. You know, we wonder why our attitude stinks sometimes. Ever had a bad attitude? Yeah, we probably have. Some of you might be in a bad attitude right now. Hope not. But here's the thing. We wonder why we become so despondent. It's because our character is self-dependent rather than God-dependent. When we depend on God to lead the way, to handle the crisis, to gain the victory, we are then living out that Christ-like character. You see, Joseph forgave his brothers not because Joseph was this great human being. Joseph forgave his brothers because his character was shaped by the one true God, the one true God who grants the ultimate forgiveness. So what do we take away from the life of Joseph this morning? I want to give you just a few application points to walk away with this morning. Because here's the deal. We can hear the story of Joseph. We can be reminded of the story of Joseph. And for some of us, maybe just me, sometimes it can just go in one ear and right out the other. And the next time I face adversity, I don't recall how to live it in a Christ-like manner. But I want you to know, not only can you be thankful, but you can be faithful and you can find joy in the midst of adversity. So I can be thankful every day because the circumstances I live in do not control my destiny. The circumstances I live in do not control my destiny because God has granted me the fruits to overcome them. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's the thing. Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Can I remind you this morning, when you face adversity, you're going to need these fruit, right? Because you're going to need the fruit of love to be able to carry that out to love the unlovable, right? Hey, when somebody's wronged you or hurt you and you're facing adversity in that relationship, you're going to need kindness and goodness to walk through that. Hey, when that adverse situation, maybe it's an illness or maybe it's a financial crisis or maybe it's something in life that you can identify with, at the end of the day, here's what happens. You're going to need self-control. Because guess what? It's probably not going to be over tomorrow, right? Some of you have been facing adversity for years. And you're saying, God, I'm practicing self-control, but I really would love for this to be over. Can I encourage you this morning? Joseph, as he sat in the pit, he's accused of adultery, as he's put in charge of prisoners, put in charge of the famine, put in place to forgive his brothers, guess what? He had to be patient and wait on God. He had to practice that self-control. But not only that, here's another application. The crises I face do not have to cause me to sin. Instead, they can provide an opportunity for my light to shine before men. I love that Jesus Christ desires for us to be a part of building his kingdom. What do I mean by that? People look at you sometimes like you're a little bit off when you're handling adversity with a Christ-like faith, right? Like, how are you handling this adversity? Your world should be blown up, but I see you thankful and faithful and even joyful in the midst of this. Folks, that's our opportunity to shine our light for Jesus Christ. Because guess what? We can't make it on our own through the adversity, right? We already know that. But when we place our faith and trust in Christ and we follow God along the way, guess what happens? We're able to be an encouragement to those around us. Matthew 5:16 tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven." It's not us, it's God. And it's important that we hold on to that fact that Jesus Christ has called us to be a living example for Him as we glorify the Father. We see this also. The calling I have been given by the Lord provides for me the ability to rise above the adversity I face in my everyday life. The calling I have been given by the Lord provides for me the ability to rise above the adversity I face in my everyday life. I've said it multiple times this morning. I'll say it again. There will be adversity. There will be. And so if you have a difficult time finding thankful heart, a faithful heart, even having joy in the midst of the adversity, I want to encourage you with one verse that will help you have that thankfulness. Because if you're not thankful for anything else in the midst of the adversity, this is what you could be thankful for. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and did what? Gave Himself for me. You are a child of God if you have repented and placed your faith in Christ. And that's the starting point of thankfulness in the midst of adversity. God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I'm facing this. And sometimes we do know why, right? We do. So we have to admit that. Like sometimes we cause the adversity. So we go back and say, God, thank you for saving me, and I'm going to trust you to get me out of this as well. But from the heart that's just kind of like, man, I don't know how much longer this is going to last. Start your thankfulness and just realizing how much God truly loves you. And He's right there with you. He's in the midst of it. The last point to share with you of life application is this. My character is formed by, shaped by, and is an outflow of my daily relationship with the Lord. Say that again. My character is formed by, shaped by, and is an outflow of my daily relationship with the Lord. Therefore, my character now as a believer should glorify Christ even more in the midst of adversity. Has your well ever just been dry? Have you been trying to fight adversity with just a dried up well, a cup that has no water in it? My question is this. What are you doing now to fill yourself up with Christ and the promise of who God is? Are you spending time daily in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer with the Lord? Are you fellowshipping with God's people? Are you allowing prayer to be given on your behalf? Listen, it is impossible to face adversity with a dry well. You've got to be filled up. Because God is the one that's going to take you through it. James 1, 2 through 5 puts this perfectly. Consider it all joy. This is so counterculture. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Let endurance have the perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Listen, adversity is going to cost you some endurance. But let me tell you this morning, God is quite capable of enduring you through the adversity. A. Parnell Bailey, he visited an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broken down. The season was unusually dry and some of the trees were beginning to die for lack of water. The man giving the tour then took Bailey to his own orchard where irrigation was used sparingly. Here's what this man says. These trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks. You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. That hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. Now mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. Now others are being scorched by the sun. These are finding moisture at a greater depth. Can I encourage you this morning? The adversity that you're facing is an opportunity to grow those roots with your relationship with Christ deeper. So not only can you get through this adversity, but the next time it comes, you're even more prepared and well prepared to say, God, I trust you in the midst of this adversity. It is possible to have a thankful and faithful heart when facing adversity. And how we prepare ourselves beforehand will determine the depth of thankfulness and faithfulness we live out in the midst of it. Joseph prepared by knowing God was in charge and his plan would be carried out. And because of Joseph's preparation, he was able to carry out thankfulness and faithfulness by glorifying God in the midst of his adversity. Can I encourage you this morning, believer? We too can do the same thing because we have the same power that lives within us. Can we pray?